Your mind is your possession, and Satan cannot absolutely control the mind of a believer unless we choose to allow him.
Most businesses have incorporated computers into their normal operations. Desks and counters are often crowded with terminals, keyboards, modems, and a variety of other related accessories. But all that hardware is useless without the unseen software that makes the system operational. You know, we operate in a similar way. Welcome to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. You see, the real determining factor in our success or failure is our thoughts. If we program our minds with righteous thoughts, then we can expect righteous behavior. And in the same way, a mind filled with ungodly thoughts will yield an ungodly lifestyle. Learn to change the way you think as you listen now to Charles Stanley.
Between our ears is what we call a brain, and we have a mind. And this mind is one of the most awesome things God has ever created. It has somewhere between 12 and 14 billion cells. And each one of these has thousands of tendrils going out. And if you and I could place all the electronics in all of the radio stations and all the television stations in the world, it would not equal the capacity of what is between your ears, your mind. There is no computer man's ever been able to create, never will be able to create one to equal the power of the human mind. What we think governs our relationship to God, our relationship to other people, what we do in life, our successes, our failures, the direction of our life, everything is the result of the way we think. Now, if you're sitting there and you are watching television and some garbage comes on, and there's lots of garbage out there, and you sit there and you watch this garbage, what's happening? You are listening to the sound of the voices of these people. You are watching with your eyes, and your mind is photographing what you see. You're in your ears, that sound comes, and it is registered on your brain and your mind. What you just saw and what you heard now is a part of your life, is a part of your thought processes. That is, it's there. It's in there. Everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever felt, it's all there. So you can't sit down there 3 or 4 hours a night, night after night, month after month, year after year, and receive all of this garbage and expect to live a godly life. It is impossible. Why? Because we begin to think garbage, we begin to act garbage, because we develop a garbage appetite. The problem with our thought processes is we have accepted the thought of the culture in which we live. The things that we used to say are sinful and no longer sinful. They're just a different set of values. And so what's happened to our society is that those people who are in places of leadership and who control and who attempt to control the thinking of this nation have so absolutely infiltrated our minds that we have begun to think and act like the world thinks. And so the world then looks at us and says, well, you know, I don't see a whole lot of difference. Why? Because we have allowed the input, the continuing input of this garbage. And so it is this acceptance of the world's culture. It is acceptance of the thought process as of today. And their explanations and rationalizations and their godless philosophy. We have a society. That's what the world system is. It is a society without God. And what we've simply said in this society is we choose to edit God out of the society and live the way we choose to live. Well, we're getting the results of it. And it is violence and crime and murder and rape and bloodshed and no more shame, no more guilt, just living a lifestyle that is philosophically said, no God, nothing religious, nothing spiritual, live it up and enjoy life. And isn't it strange that there's less enjoyment, less pleasure, more depression, more people on pills, more people committing suicide than ever before? It's real simple, because we've become so prideful, we've decided we can outthink God for pleasure and enjoyment. That's the problem. Even Christians are thinking like the world thinks. And therefore, we think the way they think, we're going to act the way they act. And if we act the way they act, then what happens to the salt and light that Jesus talked about? There won't be any salt and light. It'll all be very, very gray. Well, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want you to stay right with me in looking at these verses, because I want you to just look at some of them. I want you to see them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But look at this. But we have what? Said out loud. We have what? We have the mind of Christ. When did you get it? You got it the moment you were saved. He says he came to abide in us, and we are abiding in him. So when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not only did he forgive you of your sins and wipe out all the past, but he gave us the mind of Christ. That is, listen to this, you and I have the capacity to think the way Jesus thinks if we choose and allow that process to take place in our life whereby our thinking is renewed and we begin to think the way Jesus thinks. He says we have the mind of Christ. So if I'm going to reprogram my thinking, the first thing I have to do is to acknowledge the fact that I can think the way the Lord Jesus Christ would have me think about my life. And think about you, and think about God, and think about our culture, and think about this world in which we live. Think about our responsibilities. We have the capacity to think rightly, to think godly, to think holy, to think righteously, to think good, to think pure, to think kindness, to think love, to think forgiveness. We have the capacity to think that way because we have the mind of Christ. Now, a second thing I think it's important when it comes to reprogramming our thinking. First of all, I acknowledge the fact that I have the capacity to think rightly. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in this third chapter, Paul gives us a word of admonition that's extremely important to us. Chapter 3. He says, if or since then you have been raised up with Christ, talking about our salvation and how he's changed our life. Listen to this. Keep on seeking the things where? Above, heavenly things, spiritual things. He says, look, seek those and keep on seeking those. Make those the priority of your pursuit. What's the world seeking today? Pleasure, prosperity, you name it. He says, keep on seeking those things above, where Christ is, where is that seated at the right hand of God. Now look at this next verse. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. He says, look, keep on seeking those things that are spiritual. If you want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, if you want to be a godly person, you must seek those things that are godly. Set your mind, fix your thoughts on the things above, on God, on Christ, not on the things of this world. Now, back over to Philippians. Just turn over to Philippians, one book back here, to the fourth chapter. And the verse we started out with. And notice what he says in this eighth verse. He says, finally, brethren, here's what you do. Look at the last phrase of that verse. Let your mind dwell on these things. That is, he says, let your mind dwell. Fix your contemplation. That is, meditate on these things. Think about them. Meditate on them. Prolonged meditation. On what things? Things that are true, not things that are full of error. Things that are honorable, not dishonorable. Things that are right, not wrong. Things that are pure, not impure. Things that are lovely and things that are admirable. He says, let your mind dwell on these things. If I'm going to reprogram my mind, I acknowledge, first of all, that I have the mind of Christ. Secondly, watch this, I choose to think about what I want to think about. I choose to think about those things that are godly and holy and righteous. Now you say, but I live in a world that is so sinful and wicked and vile, and surely you have to think about some of those things. Well, surely those thoughts come in. We have to deal with life in reality. But now watch this. It is one thing to have to think about what's happening in crime and violence and all these things. It is something else to dwell on them and to fix my mind on them and to absorb them into my being. It's one thing to be able to feel compassionately concerned for people who are hurting and going through all kinds of trials and hardships in their life. It's something else to fix my mind, set my mind, dwell on these things, and absorb it. I am to dwell upon God. I'm to fix my mind upon Him. I'm to think about things that are right. And when my thinking is right toward Him, then I am equipped. Then I am free to reach out compassionately and lovingly to help and encourage and edify people who are suffering for all different kinds of circumstances and situations. But I'm to have a fixed mind. And that mind is to be fixed upon Christ. What pleases Him? What honors Him? What will edify me in Him? That is, if a mind is fixed upon God, everything else in life is going to work out right, no matter how painful and horrible and difficult it may be. God knows how to work every circumstance to His glory and to our good. But if my mind is going to be full of His thoughts, and if I'm going to think the way God thinks, then I'm going to be acting and talking, and my character is going to be godly. But I have to fix it. I have a responsibility. I have to choose to fix my mind. Now, you can be tempted to think something that is evil. You choose, will I continue to think this, or do I choose not to think that? Your mind is your possession, and Satan cannot possess, and Satan cannot absolutely control the mind of a believer unless we choose to allow him. The unbeliever can be demon-possessed. The believer can be demonly harassed, Satan is satanically harassed, but not satanically possessed. Your mind is your possession. You choose to think godly thoughts. But he says you have to fix your mind. A third thing that I think that is important when it comes to reprogramming our thinking is that we must sift. Listen, we must sift our thoughts through the Word of God and the will of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, he says in 2 Corinthians, for example, in the 10th chapter and the 5th verse, when he's talking about strongholds, he says we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, what does it mean by bringing every thought captive? Now, watch this. That means that whatever we are thinking, everything we think should be, watch this, should be sifted through what? It should be sifted through the Word of God and the will of God. Now, the Word of God and the will of God are going to be the same. But I use those two words because we want to ask the question, what's the will of the Father? What does God's Word say? If what I'm thinking hits the Word of God and it bounces off because it does not match what God says, I need to deal with that way of thinking and get rid of it. So he says, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If I have fixed my mind upon Him, and I have set my mind to think about those things that are above, that doesn't mean that you're going to be walking around some holier-than-thou kind of person, being absolutely good for nothing. But it means that you and I, living in this world with our feet on the ground, but our mind and our heart on the things of God, and it simply means that, listen, every single thing that comes our way gets sifted through the mind of God. What is the will of God? What does the Word of God say? In your finances, in your relationships, in your schooling, it doesn't make a difference what it is. Everything gets sifted through Him. When it gets sifted through Him, you and I will know whether this is good or whether it's bad, whether it's wise or unwise. Now, some things are not always evil or bad, but they're unwise. And if you and I are going to walk wisely in an unwise world, then we have to sift it through the will and the Word of God. He says, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. That means, what does He think about it? And whatever he thinks about it, that's what I want to agree with. All of our sin is the result of our disagreement with God about what we ought to do, think, or how we ought to act. And so, if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, every thought has to be sifted. And you just decide, well, you know, I'm going to make these decisions myself. Not going to pray about them. I'll guarantee you, you're going to make the wrong decision most of the time. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. You know this passage, but I want you to look at it if you will. And you recall what he says about his word, because I'm coming to something very important here. In this 4th chapter of Hebrews, he says about the word of God. Look at this. He says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." This book will make it possible for me to know what God thinks about anything and everything. It's in here in one form or the other. But now how am I going to know what God thinks if I'm not in the book and finding out and reading and asking the question, myself the question, what about it? So therefore, it's very important that you and I bring every single thought sifted. Now, the next thing that's important in reprogramming the mind is this. And that is choosing to refuse some thoughts. And remember, your brain, your mind is your own private possession. That's yours. You don't have to think these things. You can get into all kinds of addictions and habits where Satan has awesome power over you. But it's because you chose to give it to him. You chose to allow him. You chose to open the door. You chose to give him a stronghold. But you and I have the power and the right to choose to think rightly. And people who fall into all kinds of addictions, they need help. They need help oftentimes beyond themselves. Godly counsel who will get them to thinking right and get them to think in the way God thinks. You go to some ungodly counsel, and what do? You end a worse situation afterwards than you were before if you go to ungodly counsel. So what happens? When you and I begin to say, all right, God, I want to begin to think the way you think. I want to see things the way you see them. Then he says, well, then you have to get rid of some things. Remember when Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. He's not talking about cutting off hands and plucking out eyeballs. He's simply saying, if there's something in your life that doesn't belong there, that's causing you a problem, get rid of it. If there are thoughts in our minds, or ways that we think, or things that keep hindering our relationship to God, he says, choose not to think about it. And sometimes that may be difficult, but it's a choice we have. Now look in Psalm 101, starting in verse 2 of Psalm 101. I will give heed to the blameless way. When wilt thou come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Look at that phrase. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Not anything. No worthless thing. What are we saying? You just choose to refuse to think some things. You choose to refuse not to look at some things. You choose to refuse not to listen. Listen, the very idea that a man or woman walking in the Spirit of God would laugh at dirty, filthy jokes is absolutely, totally ungodly. What that says to the ungodly world is, you're thinking the way I'm thinking. Now you say, well, you know, I just don't want to be better than thou. Well, it's time some of us got a little better than thou, whoever better than thou is. That doesn't mean that we're more righteous than anybody else. It's time we began to be salt and light. And if you don't laugh at dirty jokes and smile at things that you know are not right, what it says to the world is, you're thinking the way I think, and what I'm thinking is that it's funny, and if you're smiling, you must think it's funny. Therefore, we think it the same thing. We don't have to think wrongly. We can choose to think godly. We can choose to think right. And he says, I will set before my eyes nothing that would cause me to do that. Now, the last thing I would say about this whole idea of reprogramming our thinking is looking, if you will, in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, you probably know this verse by heart, but I want you to look at it again. Romans chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now watch this. This really says, stop being conformed, assuming an outward expression that's inconsistent with your true heart. Stop being conformed to this world, to this culture. And be transformed, that is, so allow God to work in your life that the outward becomes like the inward. He says, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Now, how did you renew your mind? What do we mean by renewing your mind? That means an alteration of the way you think. Now, how do you do that? Now, I want you to listen. Please listen carefully. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by changing the way you think and what you're thinking about. The way you renew your mind, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Give you time to find it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to what he says. He says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Richly, that means plenty of it. That means overflowing with it. How do we renew our mind? We renew our mind by, instead of giving so much time and thought to those things that are ungodly, unrighteous, impure, and unholy, worldly, and like our culture, philosophical ideas without God, what we do is we begin to feast upon the Word of God. We begin to read the Word of God. We begin to meditate upon the Word of God. Now listen, the only way in the world for me to think the way God thinks is to find out how He thinks. How am I going to find out how He thinks? The best way to find out how He thinks is to read what He said about Himself and to understand what He was meaning when He said what He said about Himself. The only way to renew the mind is to begin to fill the mind with the Word of God, the thoughts of God, How does God think? What did he say? Why did he say these things? And so what happens? We begin to absorb the Word of God. We begin to listen to the Word of God. We begin to allow the Word of God to begin to work in our life. All of a sudden, not necessarily all of a sudden, but over a process of time, we no longer, listen, our appetite for what the world has to offer, we lose it. We lose it. And that's why people sometimes get saved and they're absolutely amazed at the awesome transformation that takes place in their life when they were so deep into sin. And Jesus Christ comes into their life, saves them, they get in the Word of God, they're in a church where they're being taught the Word of God, and what happens? They look back at their past life and they can hardly even think in terms of how they used to live. They don't even want to think that way anymore. All of that is despicable to them. Why? Because it is absolutely a contradiction to this new way of thinking, which is godly thinking, holy thinking, righteous thinking, walking in the Spirit of God. How does that take place? There's only one way. Where does that start? It starts with getting in the Word of God and absorbing its truth. It means opening this book before you turn on the television set or open some magazine or your favorite book. It means making it first, foremost, priority, preeminent, zenith, pinnacle in your life. It is the one thing about which everything else resolves. Before long, you know what will happen? In every single decision you make, you'll be asking the question, what does God think? What's the will of the Father? You don't have to get on your knees and ask Him. It'll be your way of thinking. That's what lifestyle, listen, that's what a lifestyle of righteous living and holy living is all about. You don't have to say, well, I need to go pray. What happens is that your mind is so in tune with the mind of God, you know what is right. You know what is good. You know what is wise. Why? Because you have reprogrammed your thinking to think the ways of God. And that's what He's looking for. People who are thinking His way. People who are looking at things from His viewpoint. And people who want to live life at its very best. And that's living it in the will of God and according to the Word of God.
No matter what you've done in your lifetime, it is possible to change. But that change will only occur through reading and applying the Word of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Charles Stanley urged you to begin to daily read and absorb the truths found in Scripture. As that becomes your regular routine, then you'll begin to see change in your behavior. Change in behavior doesn't always come as quickly as we'd like, but change is God's ultimate goal for us. God wants to change us so that we're just like His Son. That's also the purpose and the goal of our monthly publication, The In Touch Magazine. Each month you'll find instructive articles by Charles Stanley that make it easy to apply scriptural principles to the situations you encounter. The changes that will take place in your life won't happen overnight, but slowly, as Christ becomes your life, you'll be amazed at how your attitudes and actions more closely reflect the character of Jesus Christ. If you're looking for solid and practical biblical guidelines upon which to build your life, then write today for your free subscription to the In Touch magazine. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Be sure to visit our website to find many helpful resources, as well as a replay of today's message on Real Audio. Our address is intouch.org. One of the most valuable resources we have is time. Tomorrow, Dr. Stanley reminds us that it's important for us to invest our time in things that have eternal value. Learn more on the Wednesday edition of In Touch. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.